Welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gohl. All of us look for Cupid sometimes in our lives. Because Valentine's Day is around the corner, we thought it would be nice to talk about finding our special Valentines. Sometimes we want that special someone, but we don't know how to get that person, or we might be afraid, or we just might have it and we just don't know it yet. You like that one, huh? Tonight, our guest is Vatru Khan. Hello, Vatru.
Hello, ladies.
And he's going to share his journey with us, from feeling different in high school, to being in a life partnership with a woman, to being honest and coming out, and then coming to a place of being able to explore a relationship with a man.
Ooh.
And in the process, learning about himself and his desires.
Before we speak to Vatru, though, I just wanted to share with everyone an interesting tidbit. Vatru and I knew each other about 18 years ago. It was that long ago, 1993.
Wow.
I was a student teacher, just starting my career in music, and I was at Novato High School, and Vatru was a student of mine. So I was conducting him in the choir, and we'll talk a little bit more about our relationship after news, but I just want to throw that out there, that it's just so interesting how people come back into our lives. We are at the, Diana and I were serving, volunteering at the Guerneville Community Dinner for the holidays. And who walks in but Petruna? Was like, he still looks like the same kid that I was teaching, and now he's not a kid, he's like 35 or 36 or something like that. Yeah,
something.
And it's like, oh my god,
he's not telling.
So anyway, I just thought it was just so great. I just wanted to hear his story, and we invited him to come on our show, and we couldn't wait to talk with him and get to know him. So that is what's coming up for this hour. We're very, very excited to have you. Thank you so much for coming. But before we get to Vatru, we first have news and events from Outbeat member Greg Moralia. Okay, we're having technical difficulties. We will get back to our news and events in just a second. So let's just get going with our interview, Vatru. So here you are in 2011. We meet back up, and oh my gosh, let's just talk about Novato High School for a minute so we can get everybody acclimated. So there you are, and there I am teaching. I don't know what I'm doing. Right? Even though I was in music forever, and I'm a lesbian, and nobody knows, and I'm in the closet.
Right.
And so how was that for you, being in the choir, having the student teacher come and conduct you? And I mean, did you know I was gay or anything like that?
You know, I felt like, oh, we were family somehow, and I don't know if I knew at that time what that meant.
Uh-huh.
You know, I definitely related to you, and you were some kind of refreshing change to come into my my high school at that time.
Yeah,
it was different. I don't know how to describe it, because you know, in high school you're just starting to kind of learn about what sexuality means, really. I mean, I had it as a kid. I kind of knew I was different, but when I started actually realizing it was about sexuality, then it all became different when I started meeting people who actually I felt that same kind of vibe from, that was maybe a little bit just off the same, you know, road that everybody seemed to be on at that time. But anyway, it was great meeting you then. and meeting up with you again now in the holiday was amazing.
Yeah, it was weird because, you know, here I am in the closet, and yet I see kids that I think might be gay, and so I thought you might be, but of course I'm not going to say anything. And so there's this weird division between me and a student, and It's like how to connect. I just remember your energy. You were so vibrant and so happy all the time and so laughy. Right. And it was just a joy. I just remember just joy whenever I was around you.
Yeah, I was full of joy, especially during choir. I mean, that was the brightest part of high school for me. That was when I could be around other artists like myself and performers. And then I felt much more natural and in my environment, in high school. Mm-hmm. And that was the best part of it, that it wasn't, math class or somewhere where I already felt like I was needed to be uptight. I wasn't uptight in choir, and that was what was different.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I was much more vulnerable and emotional and with a situation like with you. And there are probably just a few other situations in my lifetime that stand out, I guess. But that's one of them as far as, a shining moment where something changed and inside my way of thinking.
We never know how we touch people, and it's really validating to me, and I'm so honored that you would agree to come on our show with us. Our news is ready, so if you all listening out there liked what you're hearing, please stay tuned to a very wonderful hour with Vitru. But first, here's news and events with Outbeat member Greg Moralia.
Good evening. This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for Sunday, February 6th, 2011. According to the Montreal Gazette, a newly released study authored by Michael Benigui shows that anti-gay bullying can cause hormonal disruptions that may lead to increased suicide attempts, memory loss, cardiovascular problems, and bone density depletion. It's the first study to prove a biological link between homophobia and health damage. Benigui said, the results showed that victims of homophobia had disruptions in their output of cortisol, a hormone released in the brain as a response to stress. Normally, cortisol levels are highest in the mornings and lowest in the evenings, but those facing homophobic bullying consistently produced higher levels throughout the day. Not surprisingly, the study found that the support from family and friends can counteract cortisol disruption and improve resiliency. And in Palm Springs, a judge refused to dismiss charges Wednesday in the case of men arrested in a Palm Springs police sex sting. According to station KPST, attorneys for the men claim that Palm Springs police unfairly targeted gay men and used discriminatory language during the June 2009 operation. But Superior Court Judge David B. Downing ultimately disagreed and denied their motion to dismiss the misdemeanor charges. Downing said, these 19 men were not being arrested for being gay. They were being arrested for having sex in public. This year marks a sad anniversary. It was 30 years ago that AIDS became a household word and a pandemic was born. Our leaders were mostly silent, including President Ronald Reagan, who wouldn't so much as utter the word publicly for 3 years. The LGBT community quickly mobilized. Organizations were formed that would tackle the crisis from every angle. Courageous healthcare providers, hospitals, and clinics joined the battle. One such group was West County Health Centers, which now operates 6 Sonoma County centers and clinics. In the fall of 1982, Dr. Marshall Kubota diagnosed the first AIDS case in Sonoma County at the Russian River Health Center. At the time, there were no tests for the virus, which had not yet been identified, so it was a clinical diagnosis. The organization, assisted by the local LGBT community, moved quickly to set up a clinic to meet the needs for local health care of those in the community who were getting sick. Dr. David Korchoff, who served as the Russian River Health Center's medical director during the 1990s, said, the medical community was understandably alarmed about HIV in the early 1980s because of the mode of transmission was not clear. Most patients were not well-funded, and the medical community in Sonoma County, for the most part, was reluctant to get involved in their care. West County Health Centers today offers a full range of consultation, diagnostic, and treatment services for all stages of HIV disease. Individuals may enter the center's primary care practice at any point in the disease process and know that the West County Health Care Center providers will maintain responsibility for their lifelong clinical care. Last year, when Sonoma County was forced to close the HIV Center for Prevention and Care in Santa Rosa, West County Health Centers was able to step up and offer a medical home to 150 additional HIV/AIDS patients in Guerneville and Sebastopol. This brings the number of patients they serve to 220 at the Russian River Health Center, 100 at the Sebastopol Community Health Center, and 375 at the Vista Family Health Center in Santa Rosa. West County Health Center's Executive Director, Mary Zeski said, "We provide high-quality, accessible care to a broad cross-section of the West County community, primarily low-income and uninsured residents who would not receive care if we did not exist." And for more information or to make a donation, check out their website at www.wchealth.org. Now here's your community calendar for this coming week. On Tuesday, February 8th from 2 to 4 p.m., face-to-face, Sonoma County's AIDS Network offers rapid response HIV testing at their office located at 873 2nd Street in Santa Rosa. On Tuesday, February 8th at 7 p.m., Out and About, a new social group in Santa Rosa, hosts their Santa Rosa Meetup Night. For more information, go to meetup.com/Out and About Santa Rosa. And on Wednesday, February 9th from 5 to 6:30 p.m., the Youth Support Group meets at Spectrum LGBT Center at 30 North San Pedro Road, Suite 160 in San Rafael. On Friday, February 11th at noon, Spectrum hosts the Friendship Luncheon for LGBT Older Adults at the Pleasure in Mind, 475 East Strawberry Drive in Mill Valley. And on Saturday, February 12th at 7 p.m., the Russian River Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence host Abacadabra Bingo, a benefit for face-to-face at Oddfellows Hall in Guerneville. The doors open at 6 p.m. And if you have an event you'd like to share with our listeners, be sure and tell us about it by going to our own website at outbeatradio.com. Just click on Outbeat News. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Greyer.
And welcome back. We are in studio with Vitru Khan. And if you were listening to us right before the news, you heard that Vitru and I knew each other when Vitru was in high school and I was a student teacher. Vitru, I'd like to ask you about your childhood. You said you felt different in school, and I'd like you to go back when you maybe first realized you were different or felt different and just kind of take us through those feelings in those years. Give us a flavor, a taste of who you were.
Well, there's a couple different flavors. The first one, I guess I would think it would be like at home, I was mostly interested in my sister's stuff and girls' things, like, dolls. And my toys were all the stuffed animals and the action figures, and they all had families, and they weren't fighting. I was always kind of trying to build a life, or they were going on vacation or something like that. And I noticed that most of my male friends at the time were all kind of into Transformers and playing different with the same toys that I had too, the Star Wars toys. But that's one minor way. Also, you know, dressing up as Cagney and Lacey with my sister for Halloween when I must have been 7 or 8 maybe, back in the Midwest. So that was kind of a telling moment that I was a little bit different than most of the boys on the block. And then in school, it was always, I was so close with the girls. I always related to the females, you know, all the way from kindergarten through high school and beyond, and really up until only recently in my life where I finally am making friends with men too. But basically, I always just felt like one of the girls. Mm-hmm. Not that I ever felt like I was a girl, but I always felt more comfortable with them, and that just made me feel that's the defining moment of I'm different from the other men in my class, boys. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Midwest. Just curious.
Iowa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sounds like the girls embraced you, but what about the boys when you were?
Oh no, the boys didn't like me much. I don't think they did anyway. I never. It's not like I knew how to talk to them or get any real feedback from them, but what I did get, I noticed that they were possibly jealous of me, that I talked to the girls a lot and the girls talked to me, and that we have so much fun. And so it would turn into, I guess, related to me being picked last on the sports teams and a lot of the stories that probably a lot of us go through. Just minor making fun of. There wasn't a lot. I always felt like I got along pretty well with everybody in school, so I was really blessed and lucky that way. Mm-hmm. However, I didn't always feel like one of the boys, and no matter how much I didn't think of it at the time, it was hard not being friends with people like me, like with boys and men, because I turned that as against my own self. You know, so I didn't end up liking men that much for a long time because I just didn't relate to them.
Mm-hmm. So what do you mean when you turned it against yourself when you said...
Well, I didn't talk to boys and talk to men, so I also started not liking myself that much, too, because I realized, well, you are a boy. So, I don't know, I just... it took me a little while to separate all that and just start to like myself.
When you say a little while, can you say more about that? What do you mean?
Well, I think it would took through high school, mm-hmm. you know, the whole process, like we're talking about choir and drama, those kind of things are what started making me feel just comfortable just being who I was, basically.
Not with a label or anything, just...
Not with a label, just being me, mm-hmm. just being the silly, joyful, mm-hmm. flamboyant guy that's, you know, always kind of like chirping around the girls. mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now just, yeah.
So did gayness ever come up with your peers in high school, especially?
You know, it's funny because I think that it didn't come up that much as far as the word gay. I think that probably I was just, I think I was considered maybe a sissy, but not necessarily ever was like called gay or anything like that. And it probably would have helped me if I was sometimes. But however, the only time that it really became something is when later on when I actually did come out and joined a youth group and we put flyers around the school. And then I actually took part in putting gay in everybody's locker. And so then I started hearing about it. And they didn't know I had anything to do with it, but the whispers were going around, oh, there's gay people putting, flyers in the lockers.
This was in high school.
That was in high school, late in high school, oh, okay. Yeah, senior year. But mm-hmm. so, but before that, mm-hmm. no, I just was just treated like I was maybe just different or sissy or maybe nerdy. I don't know, mm-hmm. but never was. It wasn't gay.
Uh-huh. So senior year, you came out.
Yeah, I came out senior year during the summer before I met some friends who I just started getting more comfortable with, and they were telling me about a group they went to, which was called Spectrum, Rainbow's End, a youth group for gay and lesbian bisexual teens, and I just went with them because I said, oh, I think I might be bisexual, I don't know, and so I went, and I didn't tell my family where I was going, obviously. I just... I started going and liked the people. I liked the way it was. I knew right away that that's where I belonged, and I knew right away that I was gay. It was no question to me. Once I opened up that gate inside my, you know, and wherever I was guarding from, then it just kind of flowed. And I told my parents I was going to church choir at night. So that's where I was going. I was going to the meetings and getting closer with the friends and... Eventually, I came out to my mom first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did that happen in high school?
Yeah, that I was in high school. I can't remember when exactly, but I was still in school. It was a long night. Just I don't know what led up to telling her that at that time, the particular moment. Who knows? But it was hours. I remember thinking about it, and it was going around in my mind. And then... I finally said it. I said the words, I'm gay. And she said, I know. Of course. And I've heard the same story over and over and over again. But she said, you know, I needed you to say it. And I was so grateful to her for being that way. And
If you can reflect upon life now and hearing that your mom knew for a long time probably, would you have liked her to have done it differently? Because she said, I needed to wait for you. Would you have wanted her to approach you in another kind of way, do you think?
That's interesting. I've never thought of that. No, probably not. I think that I don't know how I would have possibly felt comfortable with it. I might have felt very, very uncomfortable no matter what. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. Because... I think that is such a big, giant deal that you really do have to say out to yourself, just like anything else you're saying to yourself when you're identifying who you are.
So it sounds like your mom was really patient with you.
Yeah.
And she didn't put on the restrictions of limit affecting your relationship with girls and telling you, no, you can't play with dolls and stuff like that?
No, she always was really, I was very lucky. She was very supportive of just the person I was. Mm. And I was really, really close with her because of that. And the my father on the other end was not exactly the same. He was a rougher road. In the beginning, it wasn't comfortable, but he got comfortable with me over the years, and he was very accepting.
Your mom probably helped him a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, right from the get-go, I had her tell him. I was afraid to tell him myself. Mm-hmm. But
what was his first reaction? I'm just curious how he.
He had to internalize it in his own way, and he got pretty silent for a little while. He didn't really talk to me about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what about other support system around you? I mean, who else did you have in your family? You have, I mean, the siblings? You have a sister?
I have a sister and a brother.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and they were both real supportive. Well, my brother was far away at the time. I can't remember. He was in the military, I think, and where he was. But my sister was close, and she was really close to me and very supportive. And I was lucky in that way. And then I had my friends. Yeah, I had the friends in the group, so I felt pretty lucky. And my family was good, and I have a large extended family too. And
mm-hmm. So it doesn't sound like you had much homophobia around you in your.
No, mm-hmm. Not at all. And I grew up. High school was Marin County, and mm-hmm. you know, and I think already by the time I was in high school, a little bit more acceptance and tolerance was already starting to grow a little. So I think that I was really fortunate at the time that I came out, and my surroundings and where I was exactly.
Mm-hmm. You brought a song.
Yes.
And we usually take a music break right about now.
Okay.
And I was wondering if you could introduce your song to us, to the listening audience, and then we'll go right into music break.
Okay. Well, now I'm at a totally different place in life than I was back in high school. And right now is Valentine's Day is coming up, and it's got me thinking all about, when will I ever fall in love? Will I have a special someone that I spend all the holidays with and everything? And this song is by an artist named Adele, and the song is called Chasing Pavements. And it's basically, pavements are sidewalks, and they're like paths to different directions and all kinds of different places to go. And in this song, it's also about love, and she asks herself, should she give up or should she keep on chasing pavements? And I feel like right now I'm in a place where I'm looking for, I guess I admit to myself, I'm looking for love. And even no matter how much I like to think I'm not, that I'm just getting to know myself, but I am. And I'm wondering sometimes, should I just be natural and just be flow, or should I keep on chasing sidewalks?
I've made up my mind. Don't need to think it over. If I'm wrong, I am right. Don't need to look no further. This ain't lust. I know this is love. But if I tell the world, I'll never say enough, 'cause it was not said to you, and that's exactly what I need to do if I end up with you. Should I give up, or should I just keep chasing pavements, even if it leads nowhere? Or would it be a waste, even if I knew my myself out and fly around in circles, waiting as my heart drops and my back begins should I just keep chasing pavements even if it leads nowhere? Or would it be a waste even if I knew my place? Should I leave it there?
Welcome back to Living Proof. If you just joined us, that was Adele singing Chasing Pavements, one of Vitru's favorite songs. He's our guest tonight, Vitru Khan. Welcome back. Hi, Vitru.
Hello.
So you were just sharing with us about your support system and coming into your own when you were a senior in high school. And I'm wondering, like, what happened? You ended up with a woman. What went
right.
on?
Right. Well, yeah, funny how these things happen. I dated a couple guys. I was young. I was when I graduated high school. I was, you know, obviously I was 18, and then for a couple of years I met some guys, met some friends, and you know, I started hanging out a little bit, and then what happened was I had a tragedy in my life, and my mom died. And I hit a very, just a different moment, you know. So I needed to mourn and grieve. And I stopped, you know, hanging out with my friends a little bit and, you know, all the partying and, you know, everything that I had just learned, just started getting into doing after high school and learning how to do. And so a little bit of a setback, and I started traveling a little bit. I was going to travel across the country. And so it was a big surprise as these things happen. And it just turned out that one of my friends was kind enough to let me stay with her in her house when I didn't have a place to stay. When I stopped my travel plans, I didn't have a house. I got rid of, you know, I was renting a place and I didn't have that anymore. I sold everything I owned because I had planned on traveling, and then I lost my mother and it just threw me off. So I moved in with my friend and we just spent months together, just mourning and grieving and doing art together and becoming really close, and we fell in love. And I have nothing more to say than that. We spent so much time together. We just bonded, and we ended up just, we're just really, we're very close friends. And we started off saying, like, what are we doing? Oh, this isn't right. But you know, we just gave up on that, and we just let ourselves be comfortable. And it took some people some time to get used to it around us, obviously, our friends, but and family. But we fell in love, and I followed her off to New York when she moved, and I left everybody else I knew here, and I went and started a new life on the other coast, and lived with her for a couple years out there. And we moved back to California and lived out here for years when she lost a friend to cancer. And there's a lot of twists and turns throughout the 14-year relationship that we had together. But both of us, we knew exactly our stories. I was wearing a skirt and I had green hair when she met me, and she knew that I was not exactly normal, this not normal guy from school. And so she knew that I was gay and bisexual, and at the time, so she was bisexual, and she had had times in her life where she called herself a lesbian too. So we knew each other on a pretty deep level. So we were really lucky that way, and you know, it was really special. She was much more supportive of me than I was of myself. I didn't even let myself consider myself a gay person, really, because I was just in a relationship, and that's all there was. It wasn't about being gay or being straight or being bisexual or whatever it was. It was just about me being in love, and I was in a unit. I was a family unit, and I was a partnership. So everything else, all those, the gay labels went away. But at the same time, you know, we act different. We act different than we say we are. She would try to say, you know, we could have more open kind of relationship and little ideas like that. And it was never really something I was into, because that wasn't the way I am in a relationship. So it was really it became a little bit of a struggle. Later in the years, when I started more identifying with some of my more deeper desires. That,
but it sounds like she was trying to open a door for you somehow, or maybe herself. I don't know, but that's what it sounds like, no?
Yeah, certainly. Certainly. Mm-hmm. She was trying to open the door to more truth and honesty in our relationship. Mm-hmm. I think that, yeah, she was definitely much better at communication and being, you know, just true. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Diane. Well, I was just going to say, she sounds like a phenomenal friend, though. I mean, somebody who was there, mm-hmm. who embraced you, took you for who you were in the moment. Mm-hmm. You were grieving the loss of your mom. It sounds like you didn't have a direction. You had planned to do a certain thing, and then your mom passed, and you were kind of just like, whoa.
Yeah.
And there she was for you.
Right. She was a phenomenal friend. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. And it still is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Still is.
Super. Yeah, absolutely. We're still really close, and we help each other in every way that we possibly can, however we need to. And it's been another transformation. Good friends. Yeah, a lot of changes over the years. Mm-hmm. But it was the honesty thing was the biggest deal. And I wish I could have found a way to be more a person, more an honest person earlier than it was. I feel like I waited too long. You know, I should have been honest sooner, I feel. But we've worked it all out perfectly now. It's been over a year since we've been officially moved out and everything like that. So
so you decided that it was time to be honest,
right,
and authentic.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that was a hard place to get to. That was a really, I made it a hard place to get to. The closer I got to the truth was the more angry I got inside, and I started to be silent in my life. I didn't talk to people. I didn't smile much anymore. And I started really worrying about myself. I was closing up. And the worst of all was how I was treating her. And I was not present in a relationship anymore because I was changing dramatically, or I was recognizing what was already there. I wasn't really changing, but I was starting to recognize and actually legitimize that I'm a gay guy, and I needed to... in all fairness for both of us in our lives, I needed to change that and let her know that it's I need to be a gay. I need to live a gay lifestyle as well as be a gay guy. And there was two different things, because the last couple of years in our relationship, I was just not a nice person, I feel like. And now I feel like I'm so lucky that we're both much nicer to each other.
Mm-hmm. So not nice meaning, because you spoke about anger. So you had a lot of anger inside of you.
Yeah, but unfortunately I didn't know how to let it out anyway. All I did was internalize it, and I didn't let it out. It maybe would have been healthier if I went out and joined a fight club or something like that.
Were you afraid of... What was the fear?
Yeah,
what
I was absolutely. I was afraid to change my life. I was afraid to change my life 100%, and I didn't want to go through. It was going to be a lot of trouble. It was going to be a lot of work, and I also didn't want to completely turn her world upside down too. Although I knew that she's no fool, and she knew exactly what was coming, and that was certainly foreseeable. However, I felt like I was personally doing this to her, and it was really hard for me to do that. And now, in retrospect, I realize that it was a lot worse than what I did do. It was keeping it from her and being dishonest. So that was a really huge lesson, just being who I am and being true about it. And yeah, that's it.
It sounds like it was one of those epiphanies where it was just like all was this bottled up inside you, and then it just had to come out somehow. How did it come out? How did you come out? I mean,
right. That's a good question. Yeah. Well, what started it, what started the bottle, the fizzing, I guess, of that bottle is when my father passed away. And it was almost like a full circle. My mother had passed all those years back. And when my father died only a few years ago, I feel like I came to another place where I was holding in. You know, my father didn't, I didn't get it exactly the kind of support I wanted when I was in high school because of that silent treatment I mentioned. Yes, he was always there for me and he was a great father, but when he died, it just made something, I felt like I was now really an orphan, for lack of better words, in the world. And also that kind of made me take over my own life and become my own parent a little bit more too, because now I didn't have either one of them. And I really needed to just, it just allowed me to be free again. Mm-hmm. And that's what started it. And then how did I come out? Ooh, that was really scary. That was the scariest part of all, was I didn't do anything at all. I mean, here I am coming out again. I came out in high school. It was a whole different kind of a story. This time coming out, I've got a life established. I have a job. I know all these people. I'm living in a community where it's, so to speak, a lot of gay people living. But it was a community that I never participated in. I didn't take part. I always wanted to in some way, shape, or form, but I just stayed away from it. But I knew they were there, and I knew that there was clubs to go to, and I'm a person who doesn't like to drink alcohol that much. So it was at that time I just said, boy, this is all I'm going to do. So I started going out. One of my friends said, well, wait, I'll backtrack. I went out by myself the very first time. The very first time was New Year's Eve last year.
Really?
Yeah, last year. And I said, I'm going to go out. And I went out. It was like 11 o'clock when I decided I'm getting dressed and I'm going out. I had the next day off for once. So I went out and I went to the gay bar first in town. And I'm really turned off. I was like, oh, this is not cute. I don't like this at all. It's like a meat market and whatever. And so then I went across the street to the quote-unquote dance club that was there, and that was much more fun, and it was a little just relaxed, and I had a really good time, and I actually even met a guy for a minute, and I kissed him at midnight. And it was such a giant moment, and it was a wish that I had. It had been 2 months since I became honest and had that conversation with her and said, you know, how it was going to be. And here I was kissing a man at midnight on New Year's Eve, and I didn't think I was going to see him again, but I didn't care. I was really excited that I was physically transforming into my next year and into this next new phase. And I stayed at home for a couple months after that. I didn't go out again because I wasn't into the party scene. And then I did start going out. I discovered karaoke, and it was the most amazing thing ever because I got this little safety bubble in the corner of the bar, and I stepped inside, and I just stayed there, and I started singing songs, and I started letting out all kinds of stuff that was inside, and some people know me, and I sing really crazy, and I scream a little bit, and I like to just laugh, and when I'm up there, I know that I'm safe. I know that nobody's going to hurt me or, you know, do anything bad, call me any names. And if I want to step out, I can venture out into the world a little bit, and I could meet men and meet friends. But I could also run into karaoke again. So I had a little doorway into making a lot of friends, which has been the biggest thing so far.
So go ahead. You make me think about when you say venturing in and out. So I'm curious, you know, you got your little safety corner with the karaoke. So how often do you venture out?
Well, now much more often. Now that I'm more comfortable, I've created a couple different comfortable zones, and they don't all consist of microphones and karaoke.
Well, we have a really beautiful song that I'd like to play in your honor.
Okay.
It's a song by Ari Gold, and it's called Back to Me. And it's about somebody who's coming back into his own. And that's how I absolutely feel about you right now. I can't believe this was just a year ago. And I'm thrilled. And when you talk about joy, and remember at the beginning of the show, I talked about the joy I felt when I was in your presence. And here you are talking about the joy again that you're feeling now as an authentic person living an authentic life. And so I think this song is just so perfect. So here, enjoy everyone, Ari Gold.
Supposed to, what did you do to deserve to be left for? How did you find out you weren't so special? Why did you think there was no love left for you? Cause when I gave myself over, I lost something in return. Cause what I gave wasn't mine to give away. But now I found something stronger that I've had too late to learn. I'll give myself back to me. Yeah. Who did I think I was when I forgot me? What could have happened to make me so? How did I forget what was most important? Why would I pay for something that was free? Cause when I gave myself over, I lost something in return. What I gave wasn't mine to give away. But now I found something stronger that I've had too late to learn. I give myself back to me. I'll give myself this one thing I need. I'll give myself back to me. I'll give myself something you'll see. I'll give myself back to me. Hey, who was the one that you thought you could count on? When did you speak but no one?
Welcome back to Living Proof. That was Ari Gold singing Back to Me. And we are back to Vitru Khan sharing his life with us. And it's such a pleasure and honor to have you here with us tonight.
Thank you for having me. I'm loving it.
You're wonderful. So, Vitru, we're going to get a little serious now, like we haven't been.
Oh, okay. I'm ready.
No, just teasing you. So, no, seriously, though, now you're in this place of you're finding yourself, you're out, you're feeling comfortable, even though you're doing your karaoke and enjoying yourself and performing, you get to see a lot of men. So is there any Have you ventured out and found some lucky person to have you yet?
I've been lucky enough to meet some friends, and I've been learning. I've been learning about myself through meeting other people, and I'm finally, first of all, the most important part of this is that I'm becoming friends with men, and I that alone is the biggest, giantest deal to me, because I, like I mentioned, I was never able to be friends with, real friends with any man or guy that I was around, and it was really frustrating. For there was years where people would call me brother or bro, and I felt like, oh, I wish that was true. I'm not really your brother or your bro in my mind, and I never accepted men as being, you know, my brothers. And now, I've been making friends in this community, and they're amazing, absolutely helping guide me along, and whether they know it or not, intentionally or not, I'm learning a lot about myself now through these, you know, these wonderful people. And I've seen a couple guys, and I've been really lucky. They're really sweet. There's nice people out there. I'm interested in somebody now, and I hope that I can continue that. So, you know, it's just day by day, and I'm just taking everything. It's a big lesson for me to just move slowly and accept life as it happens, and to stop, you know, not to search for what I want, because I really am still figuring that out, what I want and who I need to be around me.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the things you're learning about yourself as you venture out and meet guys?
Well, yeah, I'm learning about how to communicate with them. You know, it's not always the same as with women. With women, it's much more natural flow. With men, I tend to think about things a little bit more that I say to them. I don't know why, but other than that, just talking. I'm getting sidetracked in my mind.
No, I'm just thinking about you when you said, you know, about thinking.
What was the question?
You're in your head a little bit more when it comes to guys. You want to make sure you get it right, or what? I mean, what's that process like?
Right. Well, you know what? It's just learning about just being close, period, right now. Just being close to anybody. I'm still tender. I'm still a tender moment. You know, this is just out of a relationship. It was a long relationship. Mm-hmm. And I still feel like, you know, these moments happen where I start getting close with somebody. And if there's any hint of the relationship that I was having before, then it makes me think, oh wait, I've already done this before. So I don't know what it is that I'm looking for, but I'm looking for something new and different, and I'm not quite sure that it's really, you know, happened yet. And I'm looking forward to when it does happen, and when it clicks.
It must be, I mean, that's a lot of work to have to censor everything that you're going to say, right? Like with women, I feel like you're telling us that it's just natural and you just say anything. But with men, it's like you're on guard and you're a little more uptight. And
well,
yeah?
what I feel like is that when I'm talking to women, I feel like everything is safe. When I'm talking to a man and it's not just a friend man, then it's anything I say could be led to something next in the future, and I'm not necessarily ready to make any plans for tomorrow. So I guess that's what I mean when I say I censor myself mostly with men, because I'm just so being so careful to just take it moment to moment, because I know how I am, and I like to go fast, so I have to consciously slow myself down.
So What do you see in your future? What do you wish you had in your future?
That's a good question. I like that question. I see myself in the future. I see myself with a family. I see myself with a husband and with kids. And I really look forward to that one day. And, you know, I'm an artist, and I hopefully I'll be successful in selling my art and my beads, and I won't. I'll be living a even more true life to myself, and having every moment will be just Vitru being Vitru and doing exactly what I like to do, and yeah, just being validated for it.
That's a beautiful vision. I didn't know you were an artist.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that and your beads.
Well, thank you. I make jewelry.
I
used to paint, and I did a lot of different things with different mediums, and I started making beads, polymer clay, and I'm so stuck on it. It's like this habit. I can't even stop. They're called planet beads, and they're just psychedelic, kind of gorgeous shapes, buttons and beads and earrings and necklaces, and yeah, I'm really lucky. It's a couple of the stores in town in Guerneville sell them.
Ah. Yeah. And is there a place people could get them if do you have a website or?
No, but they can see them on my Facebook page.
Ah. So how would they see them on your Facebook page? What would they type in the computer?
They just Vitrucon.
You want to spell that out?
V-A-V as in victory, A-T-R-U-K-A-H-N.
And that's two words, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay. So Vitrucon on Facebook, and then you can see his beads. I'm going to go to Facebook. I haven't seen them, and I'm curious. You know, I love art. I had no idea you were an artist. That's fabulous. And a musician.
Well, a performer.
Yeah. A singer. That's terrific. Yeah. So I'm curious. What you would say, Vitru, to somebody who was in the closet, man or woman? Mm-hmm. But, you know, if somebody was listening right now, mm-hmm. and let me tell you, I invited someone to come on our show who's 75 years old, and he's in the closet and has been in the closet all his life. Mm-hmm. And he said that he didn't want to come on because he thought his daughter, if she found out, wouldn't let him see his grandkids.
Mm. Oh.
Very sad. So for him or for anyone else listening, if they are in the closet, what could you use this time to help them with? What words of advice could you leave them with?
Mm-hmm. Well, the closet, those doors are really heavy, and it's really hard. It takes a lot of concentration and pain as far as not being true and not being honest. And when you're having to lie about who you are, and that is essentially you're lying to yourself, you know, it feels so much better just to be free and just to, like, be out loud and just be who you are. And no matter what it is, because it's so much more relaxing, first of all. I used to have anxiety. I would, like, have attacks. I would just, because I was having to think about who I was all the time. Now I don't have to think about who I am. I just be who I am. And I have the most magic amount of energy. It's amazing. Everything is going my way now that I'm being honest in my life. Mm. And I hope that anybody else listening out there who is struggling about coming out to the people don't really care. They care for a minute about what you're doing, and then they're over it pretty fast because they get on to something else that they care about more. Mm. And this is a much more tolerant world, and it's time to just be honest. Everybody needs to just be free.
Mm. Thank you. Yeah.
Well said. Yes. Yeah. Beautiful. Just be free. Come out. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, Vitru. So we're going to be ending the show soon. So I just want to give you this opportunity. I mean, you've been sharing so openly and honestly about your life. You have support systems. I know they're out there listening, your family and friends. Is there anything that you would like to say to them, to leave them with some words?
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. I want to say first of all, to my family, You're amazing people. You're the Khan family, the Patinella family. You're all absolutely incredible because you're in my mind. You make up who I am, and every step that I've taken in my life, as far as being honest and being free, is because my family. I have powerful people, creative people, and they're all beautiful. And I think about them all the time. And I send love out to you all right now, and my friends. The friends that I had over the years that I closed away because I wasn't being myself, and I wasn't being honest and true to who I am. I'm sorry that I lost you, and I hope that you're having a great time in your life now too. I know that I am, and you know, the new friends that I've been making,
Well, you know who you are, and I love you all, and you're my sisters and my brothers, and you're making me have a really, really good life, and I am so grateful. I am the luckiest person around, and thank you all for having me here, Major.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome.
You. Wow. It just makes me, you know, you give me hope. I got to tell you the truth, because it's lonely being a teacher, a gay teacher, amongst heterosexual staff and heterosexual kids. And then the one kid that I look at that might be gay, you know, it gives me hope that I still need to be myself and be open to that kid. And because, you know, you're living proof that I have important work to do, and you're a wonderful reminder of that. And I thank you. I thank you for that. What a wonderful moment in time for us to share.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one thing I really liked when you were talking, you said, "I'm still a tender moment." And I wrote that down. I mean, I just think that is just so eloquent and so beautiful. Okay. And thank you so much for coming on our show.
Oh, you're welcome.
And I want to tell everybody out there in listening land that you can be like the true also. You can be living proof that you can live an honest and authentic life full of joy and possibility. And Diana and I will see you again first Sunday in March. Until then,
good night.
And you can do the same, yeah.
Realize that to question